Hey, listener, are you happy with your current chicken wings? Do you wish you had something a little saucier? If you answered yes, then it might be time for you to break up with your old chicken wings and get a new honey. Lemon pepper wing from Popeyes. Share the wings with your friends so they can see it's time to move on, too. Head to Popeyes and get 6-piece honey lemon pepper wings for $5.99. At participating U.S. restaurants, price may vary.
On May 10th, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
They stole my village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
This week's episode of Getting Grown is brought to you by Bumble. It can be tough to make new friends as an adult. Luckily, that's where Bumble BFF comes in. The women first dating app now includes a friend-finding mode, too. Download Bumble on iOS or Android and switch to Bumble BFF mode within the app. Then you fill out a profile to let your future besties know what you're all about. So this is what we talk about this every week. But guys, it's really important to find friends as an adult. One of my favorite ways to do that is to just be out doing things that I love to do. This is a way that you can find like-minded people with similar interests who love doing the things that you do. And you guys can go together and do those things together and build a relationship. It's hard, especially when you move to a different area or you start a new job or you're in a different phase of life and you may have outgrown some of the friendships from previous periods. Bumble BFF really helps you to, you know, kind of get a fresh start in the friend department. So to learn more about Bumble BFF, head to bumble.com/grown and get your life.
You looked into my eyes. You said to me that night that you would never cheat on me or break my heart. Inside, I never knew your love was so untrue. I thought that I was your only. Boy, was I wrong, so wrong.
I don't even know what that is.
What? Never do something that'll catch up to you. You did me wrong. You told me lies. Never do something that you live to regret. You hurt me so bad, babe. No? Mm-hmm.
Oh, I heard it through the grapevine. You and me were too fine. And I hope that you feel much better.
Still no?
Would have been helpful. I don't know all those other verses and things.
Really? I love that old good old Hippo Mouth song. Praise the Lord, niggas.
Praise the Lord.
What's going on, sis? How are you?
You know, I mean, no use in complaining. I'm doing okay. Just scratching and surviving, man.
Ooh, yes, scratching and surviving. Food stamps in the city. Praise the Lord, niggas. Welcome back to another episode of Getting Grown.
That's right. We're going to talk about all of, you know, the ways that adulting is a total scam. The good, the bad, the ugly.
Yes.
The twists, the trials. I can't even do it right. The tests, the trials. The twists, the turns, the temptations, and the taxes of being a real live adult. In the year of our Lord 2010.
It is the end of the year.
That's right.
And so we are very happy to be wrapping this thing right on up and get started in the new one. You know, the end of the year is the time to either just rush to the finish line or take it a little easy. So how are you doing, sis?
I mean, I told you, nothing's changed in the last 20 seconds. And I said,
oh, did I ask you that?
How are you doing?
How was your event? Talk about that. That's a good thing. Come on.
The Women of Color and Community Brunch was a success. We had an awesome time. The panelists were awesome. The attendees were awesome. The food was awesome. It was all things awesome and amazing. Shout out to everyone
who supported and came and sent comments and messages and tweets and all manner of encouragement to me. Really, really appreciate it. It was it exceeded my expectations in every way. We had a really good time, and we're looking forward to doing more and more in the very new, in the very near future. Shout out to our sponsors, Verizon, of course, Loud Speakers Network, and Camp Space, the event space in DC, in Hyattsville, in PG County, where we actually had the event. Yes. It was a beautiful space. We were sitting like family, and I understand that, you know, it was a little tight, but, you know, that's really the only kind of feedback that I've received that wasn't, you know, glowingly positive. But it's well received and understood. We're growing, and it was our first brunch, so we didn't want to, you know, rent out.
It's also a space owned by
a black woman.
By a black woman.
I mean, so, you know, and it was like we didn't want to, you know, rent out the Verizon Center or anything like that, since it was our very first event. But we started small, and it was intimate and just really, really good. So y'all stay tuned, keep it locked. Team Tapping Fast is really just getting started with, you know, in the event space. And our website's going to be launching in just a couple of days. So we're doing things. We're doing things, and I'm super grateful. Shout out to all of our Getting Grown listeners who have been so super supportive. You know, us nerdy academics and all you cool kids who just, you know, also dealing with the idiosyncrasies of being both black and women in predominantly white and male spaces. We're out here trying to figure out how to do it together. So it's going to be dope.
Amen. I had a wonderful time.
Thank you so much for coming and being so supportive. It was so cool to have you.
You know I'm always going to be there. You can't get rid of me, but I had a really, really good time. There was a lot of really wonderful and encouraging experiences and words spoken. Shout out to Dr. Kimberly, who apparently I ran up on Akia's dissertation and totally forgot about. She reminded me of that, said I ran up on her after the dissertation and said, well, why were you asking her all them questions? Well, I didn't know how this worked, so excuse me for being, you know, protective. Oh, but she's super, super cool with her beautiful 10-week-old son. But shout out to all the ladies. Vic Jagger, she's a good, good time. A good, good time. Part of the Dora Milaje, also part of the Golden Lords. Oh I love all of y'all. So, no, everybody was a really good
shout
time.
Shout out to Gina, our panelist from Verizon.
Yes!
Representing ladies in the
last
corporate sector.
Last but definitely not least.
She kept it all the way funky.
She let her hair down. She got out of that corporate space and let black women know what it is and what it ain't.
It was a good time. It was a good time. I don't have
it was.
Any complaints, you know, hiccups and speed bumps and all kinds of things that happen when you do events like that. But, you know, it's just boss up season. And I feel like that word boss is completely overused, but there's a lot of responsibility, a lot of planning, a lot of strategy, a lot of leadership that goes into these kinds of events. And we're all living and learning and figuring it out. So, you know, shout out to, you know, everyone for just being patient and working with us as we all figure out how to just, you know, be out here. So,
absolutely.
Team Tapping Fast, Women of Color and Community Brunch is in the books, and it's going to go down in history as an awesome affair. And we're looking forward to planning more and hopefully in cities across the country. Look at that.
Can't wait.
Look at that.
Cannot wait.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be a good time. It's going to be a good time because it already is. Well, that was awesome. And we also hosted the Friend Zone this weekend along with Evangelist Mouse.
Can he be an evangelist? Well, I guess so.
Or something. Mm-hmm. We'll just say that Mouse or something. Ellipses. But nah, that was a good time. Mouse is always a good time. So we had a blast. And then shout out to our siblings, Fran, Asante, and Dustin for wrapping up their tour with their DC show. It was a good time as always with the performance by Bino French, who, you know, so boldly performed a Mint Condition song.
In DC.
And when I had to stand at attention to make sure that he wasn't gonna fuck that thing up, because if he did, I was running up. So, but he didn't. He did an amazing job. He did a good job, so I was very happy with it. I was pleased. And that was that. So I think now we can go ahead and get on into the show. Okay, so let's get into some trash, some local news, local internet news. So Alfonso Ribeiro, also known as Carlton, is filing a lawsuit against Fortnite and NBA 2K creators for stealing the Carlton dance.
Hmm.
Yes. So I have actually seen Fortnite, they have like a dance challenge or something online, and it's the characters literally doing a bunch of different dances. So they do like the shoot, and they do, you know, the floss, you know, the shit where they, you know, the little wiggle wiggle where they put their arms one side and hips other side. And they do the Carlton and all manners of other dances. So I guess he, according to the legal documents, the former Dancing with the Stars contestant who's in the midst of copywriting the Carlton dance claims Fortnite stole the dance, which they dubbed the Fresh Emote. The Fresh Emote. What's an emote?
No idea.
Well, that sounds very close to the Fresh Prince. But he says it's identical to the Carlton, which it is. I've seen it. So he's suing Epic Games, who owns Fortnite, for what he calls an unauthorized use of his signature move.
Secure the bag.
That's it. I mean, I can't be mad at it. If somebody stole my whole shit. But you should have dubbed that a long time ago, no?
I mean, dub by dub, you mean?
I don't know. I don't even know how you do that. Like, that's kind of like Steve Urkel. I don't know how you can patent a dance like that where people can't use it. I'm not sure. But anywho, last night, the 2018 Miss Universe pageant took place in Thailand. And Angela Ponce made history as the first transgender contestant in the pageant's history.
Nice.
So even though transgender contestants have been eligible to participate in the pageant since 2012, she didn't, apparently Miss Spain didn't make it into the top pageant's top 20, but everybody from all over is celebrating her participation.
That's dope.
So I think that's pretty dope.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, the Statue of Liberty climber Teresa Patricia Okomu was found guilty.
Yeah.
Back in July when she climbed the Statue of Liberty.
Guilty
in
of
protest.
What?
Guilty? I don't know. Let's see. She was found guilty for her actions on Monday. 3 misdemeanor counts of trespassing, interference with government agency functions, and disorderly conduct. And she faces up to 18 months in federal prison and will be sentenced on March 5th.
Mm.
She pled not guilty for the incident, which she should have, because this was in protest of that heinous demon being elected as some of y'all's president. Sorry. I actually forgot to get the trash, so I'm getting it together while we do it. Because I was getting the other list together. I don't know what. Let's see here. Ty, just take out the dead spaces. Okay, did you see the Black Ink Crew episode where you didn't?
If it was recent, I haven't seen it.
Was definitely recent. So it's been, of course, Donna has been bumping her gums all over the place. And she she's been having a lot of issues with Caesar, and Caesar's also been wilding, losing his mind, because he's in beef with Sky, because Sky started her own business in Miami, which is dumb. But dumb that he has an issue with it, because it's not a tattoo company. It's a clothing company.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, that's a whole nother conversation. So Donna has been running her mouth about different things Caesar's been doing around the shop, per usual, which ain't your business. And so he ended up snuffing her nigga, who works in the shop as well, Alex.
Hmm.
Basically on some, if you don't shut her up, I'm gonna shut you up type of situation. That boy wasn't opening his mouth and saying anything. So anyway, Caesar ends up snuffing him. So then Teddy jumps in. And essentially, it becomes a little jumping move. And they faced a lot of backlash over that. Like, it wasn't a fair fight. It wasn't. Alex had nothing to do with anything that Donna was doing. Caesar was wilding. And so the fans have lashed out on both Teddy and Caesar, saying that, you know, it wasn't a fair fight. So they have since apologized for their actions. They recognized that it wasn't a fair fight or what have you.
Oh, street niggas.
I know. You know, street niggas gonna street nigga. Speaking of street niggas, Offset. You know we were gonna talk about it. Mm-hmm. You knew we were gonna talk about it. Offset, did we talk? We talked last week about his apology video, no?
I don't remember.
Okay. Well, Offset released an apology video on Instagram, breathing mad hard in the phone. I think he was in the corner of a bathroom somewhere. I don't know from the video. Publicly apologizing to Cardi for his actions. He stated that he did not cheat on Cardi. I mean, he did not fuck them girls. He was just entertaining it. Trash. Absolute trash. And I guess he thought this public apology was going to suffice for the countless public humiliation that he has, that he's done. So he continues his public apology by jumping on stage during one of her live performances at the Loud Headline, where she was headlining the Rolling Loud. I think it's a festival or show. Mm-hmm. With a huge, giant number of bouquets that say, "Take me back, Cardi."
I saw that. Trash.
What are your thoughts on it?
I mean, I'm saving this for my petty peeve.
Oh, got it. Okay, so then we will move along from that with it. And actually, our trash this week is a little light because we're doing something similar for the Kitchen Table Talk. So maybe we can just move on to some shout outs and then we'll get back into some good trash for our next segment.
All right.
My sister's popping right now, like.
All
right.
It's time to shout out some sisters. And I've got some very important people I want to shout out. Hope you guys don't get sick of me, but for the next couple of weeks, hopefully this week and next week, but I'm going to be shouting out some awesome businesses that I had the opportunity to partner with for the Women of Color and Community Brunch. The first one I want to shout out is my event designer, Sophia O'Connor. She by day is a kindergarten teacher and administrator for DCPS, but her passion and purpose project is being an awesome and amazing event designer. You can find her on Instagram by District Events and Design. She's responsible for the beautiful decor that we had at the brunch, and it really just looks stunning. And she's just professional, just talented, just amazing in so many different ways. And it was a wonderful opportunity and blessing to work with her. Literally just gave her my vision and she took off running with it and really just exceeded my expectations. So shout out to Sophia. Sophia, make sure that you check out District Events and Design on Instagram and get all of your design needs met. She is local here to the DMV area, but I'm pretty sure she'll travel if the price is right. So y'all check out District Events and Design and get your lives. I also want to shout out D. Nicole Settings. They are the Black-owned company that is responsible for the green. I had a beautiful green hedge wall as a backdrop for the event. And they came and set it up, and it was just beautiful. It was beautifully lit. It was just so, so awesome and amazing. It was the perfect finishing touch to just pull everything in the room together. So y'all be sure to check out D. Nicole Settings. You can find them on Instagram at D. Nicole Settings. They specialize in backdrops, arches, and canopy rentals. And they service
the DMV area. But, you know, if you're having a wedding or an event or a party or a bridal shower or a baby shower, check out D. Nicole Settings, another Black woman business owner who's out here doing the dang thing. So y'all be sure to check that out.
Yes, and make sure, please, District Vincent Designs. Sophia does her thing at everything that she does. I have seen her organize multiple events, and it always goes off without a hitch. She knows exactly what she's doing, and she's good at it. So I co-sign.
Straight like that.
I co-sign.
Shout out to my sis.
Yes. All right, let's move on to our kitchen table talk.
Support for today's episode comes from Kapari. Sometimes the smallest changes can have the biggest benefits. An easy change your body will thank you for? Switching to aluminum-free coconut deodorant from Kapari. Kapari's coconut deodorant is both vegan and aluminum-free. It's also free of silicone, sulfates, parabens, GMOs, and baking soda, so it's great for sensitive skin. Kapari's deodorant fights odor with plant-based actives such as sage oil and coconut oil, and it doesn't leave behind a sticky white residue, just the sweet, subtle scent of fresh coconut milk. And it outlasts your longest days.
This is Kapari's number one selling product, and they can barely keep it in stock. They also offer a deodorant subscription. Just choose how often you want to receive it, and they ship it to you automatically for free, so you never run out of deodorant again. Kapari offers a money-back guarantee, so there's no reason not to try it today. I have been using Kapari. Like, I love it. I switch it out with my other deodorant very often. And the other day, I was moving around and grooving and grooving and grooving for Kia's brunch. And I looked up and I was like, what is that? Something is smelling quite tropical. It was myself. So I absolutely love Kapari's coconut deodorant. It has you smelling wonderful. And you're not going to be disappointed. And it doesn't have baking soda, which actually irritates my underarms. I can't do it. So it's great for great for sensitive skin. Go to KapariBeauty.com/grown to make the safe switch today and save $5 off your first order when you subscribe. That's Kapari, KopariBeauty.com/grown. KapariBeauty.com/grown. Oh, it's time for the kitchen table talk, boys and girls. Mugs and tea bags, water bottles and recycle bins.
Oh, Lord.
Blunts and ashtrays. It's time for the kitchen table talk, and we told you all we were going to keep it light for the next few weeks. So, obviously, you know, you're getting, it is the end of year, so you are getting these good old end of year wrap-ups and all types of things. So, Key and I thought we would do something along similar lines, but put a positive spin on it and kind of do it where it aligns with the show. So we're going to do glow ups of 2018. Just, you know, some different things that we've seen in social media and in the news and in entertainment and politics and so forth and so on of people who have grown up in one way or the other. Sis, do you want to start off with a glow up, one of your favorite glow ups of 2018?
Are these in any particular order? Or are we just
no. We're just going. So if there's anything that you want to add to, then feel free.
Well, I guess we can start by paying homage to my auntie, Michelle Lavon Robinson Obama.
Absolutely.
For just being out here breaking ceilings and just being a boss and exceeding everyone's probably low expectations of her and her success. But Michelle is out here with this book, honey, that has just gone diamond. I didn't know that you can go diamond with books versus albums. But I'm telling you that this book is just out here selling like crack in 1987. I mean, Becoming is a total mood. If you have not read it or picked it up, I would behoove you to do that. Hopefully you'll have some time to, you know, settle down and unwind a bit. Over the holiday season and just rest and reset for the new year. I think that Becoming is an awesome book. I'm still reading it. I'm not through it yet. But, you know, it is just a bevy of emotion. And it is just quintessential, authentic Black woman evolution. I mean, and I've not read a page that didn't inspire me in some way, shape, form, or fashion. Like, I mean, all the way from like Michelle telling the story of how she, how this little girl was bothering her, as a teen or tween, a little girl just didn't like her and just didn't have no reason and was always talking smack. And, you know, Aunt Mish was like, I didn't really know what her problem was, but I knew that I didn't like it and I found a way to shut her up. So, I mean, the way that she told the story of, you know, how she had to, you know, get the girl to put some respect on her name, you know, all through her college journey. And I mean, just all that she's learned, the experiences that she's had and how that has shaped her life and trajectory to this point. It's really just been awesome. It's just, and it's, the way that she writes it, it really feels like you're just sitting with her and she's just talking. So Becoming is out here. I think as glow ups go, this book is going to, is already just like breaking records and it's just going to go down in history as a major, major move for Michelle Obama and for all Black girls all over the place in 2018. So
Becoming also taught me a lesson this year and helped me to realize that my procrastination is a problem because I did not order it in advance. So then I tried to cop it at the airport 2 times and it was gone. And then I got online and I said, yeah, I'm about to order this. And I did. And it came in the mail and I got Becoming, Mi Historia, the Spanish version.
Oh my gosh.
So.
What a disaster.
I am trying to get in my hands on an English copy.
How in the world?
Because I'm me. That's why. Because I am me, I ordered Becoming, Mi Historia. So,
oh,
I cannot wait. I cannot wait
to mess.
Get my English version of Becoming, and then I would have contributed twice. So I'm not going to complain about it, and I will gift Becoming Mi Historia to someone who would love a copy of it. So.
Sweet God.
But another glow up moment of 2018, which is in the same vein, the Obama portraits.
Right.
So, yes. So the Obama portraits, Michelle Obama, we know Obama's portrait was painted by Kende Wiley. And Amy Sherald unveiled her portrait of Michelle Obama as she, along with Kende Wiley, became the first Black Americans, or excuse me, African Americans to paint the Smithsonian's official presidential portraits.
That's beautiful. If you've not had an opportunity to go and see it, you absolutely should. Because, I mean, it is, I mean, the pictures do it justice. But, I mean, to see it in person is just like, it is breathtaking. So if you can, you live in the D.C. area, or if you're visiting anytime soon, make sure that you head over to the National Portrait Gallery and check those out.
Absolutely.
Because they are really something.
Absolutely. What you got next?
Okay, so let's talk about Ava DuVernay and how she has joined the $100 million club of directors with films that have grossed $100 million in earnings with A Wrinkle in Time. Yes. Which was a total mood. I mean, you know, and I've heard that there've been mixed reviews about A Wrinkle in Time, but I saw it and thought it was phenomenal.
Okay, so I think we touched on that, but I had a bit of an issue with it, only because I did love A Wrinkle in Time as a book. But I also realized that it is a very whimsical book. It is a, you know, it is about other dimensions and things like that. And it leaves a lot of room for interpretation and also for creativity in developing a film. And so it was already huge that a Black woman was able to adapt this into a film. You know what I'm saying? And I thought they did a really good job of it. It doesn't follow the book exactly, but it follows the premise. And I like how they put their little spin on it. And it was for children. It was not for you adults.
Yeah,
that is...
A lot of millennials went into the theater with expectations that were probably, you know,
maybe a little unreasonable given and I mean, we go in and we want to see, you know, and remember and see things as we remember them, but mm-hmm. you know, things change and evolve, and I really didn't have a problem with the interpretation of the book. I mean if you read, I mean, most movies that have been based on books have, I mean, if you've read Hidden Figures and then you went to see Hidden Figures, you would know that the movie was actually just about maybe 12% of the book. like the story that was, you know, the plot of the movie was
The Color
really,
Purple.
Yeah. I mean, like all of these things. So we have to take these things with a grain of salt. The bottom line is Ava DuVernay is out here, you know, amongst directors. And she had a quote that I really respect with regard in her comments about after receiving the award. She said, you know, it's a lovely room to be in, but I can't wait for more sisters to be here. Because, I mean, the bottom line is, you know, we're still underrepresented in just about every field. So we have, you know, little step by step, we're making strides to, you know, just take over as we very well should.
I love that she said that, though. I love that was what her response was. Like, I'm very honored. I'm very, very happy to be here. Lovely dresses, beautiful gowns. But I can't wait to see more of us in the place. My next favorite moment. Janet Mock became the first trans woman of color to write and direct a TV episode ever in history. In Hollywood, ever. for the show Pose.
Congrats to Janet, man. Pose is something that I don't think the world was expecting. It was a force that the world was not expecting, but it is a force by far, undeniable force and feat in American television. If you have not gotten your life to it, then you should. I believe it's on the Hulu.
FX. And yeah, it's on Hulu. The first episode alone, when they ran up in that museum and stole them beautiful... great dresses, beautiful gowns. It ran out. I got my whole, I was like, yeah, yes, run. And they came and performed. And then they went out in glory and got arrested. But anyway, it's a wonderful show. Pose is a wonderful show. And Hollywood has a lot of catching up to do, obviously. But Kia and I continuously talk about underrepresented communities and so forth. So you talk about underrepresented, the trans community is one, and Hollywood catch up as well as the rest of the world. But congratulations to Janet Mock.
Indeed. Moving right along, there is now a woman of color, a black woman, a biracial woman, down to the palace, honey. Meghan Markle went from being a movie and television actress to being a princess.
Yes.
Marrying our good ginger brother, Harry. And I mean, these things are just fun to watch and behold. And we have, you know, we're in the palace now. You can't, I mean, we're just out here. We're taking over. We're taking over the palace. So.
And she is pissing everybody off. And
I love
think it.
That it's fantastic. And I mean, love that the queen is endorsing her. Ruffling all of these feathers.
Yes. I mean, because it's so... let me not say that. It is that I don't want to be culturally insensitive. She's like closing her own door, which is apparently like a breach of contract. Like, essentially, in my terms, it's a breach of contract. She's not supposed to close no car doors. She's not supposed to do none of that. She also wants to have a home birth. Mm. She's pregnant. Congratulations to them. And she said, I want to give birth at home in the water that, you know, I want to set up. And that apparently, I guess, in the royal family, there is a specific location in which everybody has been born in a hospital, one of the hospitals there. And she's supposed to continue the tradition. And she's going to break that tradition by having her baby the way that she wants to have it. And they are not happy about it.
Well, everyone's just going to have to be okay.
They are. We had some really, really dope political news this year. It was a huge glow up, especially for women of color. Those 19 black women that we spoke about who were elected in Texas as judges.
Absolutely.
LaToya Cantrell became the first female mayor in New Orleans history. So now New Orleans, Baton Rouge, and Shreveport all have black, are all black women-led cities.
Ayanna Pressley was the first black woman to be elected to Congress in the state of Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe London Breed became the first mm-hmm. black woman elected mayor in San Francisco.
Yep.
So, listen, we are taking names. And I think we should be celebrated. And I think, you know, I mean, we can't, I think we would be remiss in not acknowledging Stacey Abrams in the fight
absolutely.
For Atlanta. I mean, but, you know, what I love about the story the most, it's not even a story, but what I love about the situation at, as it stands right now is that, you know, Stacey will not, you know, she will not walk away in silence. She will continue to fight. She is continuing to fight. Just by saying and telling her story and spreading the word and not being afraid to expose, you know, the unjust, and problematic patterns of behavior and policy that are happening there in the state of Georgia as it relates to voter suppression.
Yes. And we also got our first Muslim women in Congress.
Right, indeed.
We'd be remiss not to shout out Miss Rashida and Ilhan. I believe I said that right. I hope I did.
I hope you did too.
But and there were so many others, but those were some of the best moments. A few of the many great women moments for women, especially women of color, and in marginalized communities, who had some great political glow ups this year.
Black Panther. Period.
Oh, period.
I don't know if there's much more that we can say, but Black Panther won everything. I mean, just the Dora Milaje. Just
broke all kinds of records.
Just Ryan Coogler is out here.
Kicked Leonardo DiCaprio right off the motherfucking Titanic.
Listen, I mean, it was, you know, just the most... I'm not really a movie buff. Like, I'm not one of those girls that's, you know, into the films and things like that. But I will say that I think I've never in my lifetime experienced buzz around a film like I have Black Panther. Like, the way that we showed up to the theaters in our regalia, costumes and such, the way that we went time and time again, seeing it 3 and 4 and 5 and mm-hmm. 7 times, Crystal. we will just not, you know, it was just so good. And it's something that even now, you know, I have it downloaded on my cable and I have it on my iPad. So if I'm like on the plane and I just need something to watch, I can watch that. It's just good stuff.
It's just good. It just did everything. The representation alone for children. I know we're going to see a million costumes in a year of children of like one particular character. But something about seeing all them black babies dressed up like the Dora Milaje and Shuri mm-hmm. and T'Challa and even Killmonger. Like, it was just the story behind. I mean, obviously we know the story was not written by black men, but just the way that it was directed and how they showed the different sides between black Americans and those from Africa. It was just a movement, it was beautiful. And it's probably the most I've ever gone to the movies to see one particular movie. And I still didn't go as many times as Crystal.
And that's not a judgment or an indictment.
Oh no, not at all, please. Not at all. Ooh, and then the queen, B'Challa.
Mm-hmm.
Beyonce became the first black woman to headline a music festival, period.
She did more than headline. I mean, headlining seems...
Oh, like that was... Listen, that's just one of the statistics.
It's just an insufficient term to describe what...
She changed the name. She did a IHOP.
She did. I mean, it was just... I mean, I don't know. I don't know that any other headliner in the future... Might as well just hang it up now. I don't know.
Oh, absolutely.
I don't know how or whom is going to be able to follow all that Beachella was and is for those of us who still watch and listen to it. You know, on our respective devices. But
I even watched a very unseasoned video that I was sent earlier of a white girl doing that OT Genesis Get to the Money dance breakdown.
Unseasoned white girl.
It was, that performance was literally, it was the most, it was just the driest piece of chicken in the batch. But anyway, it also, Beachella was the most watched live stream performance to date with 41 million viewers. Damn. The way that band performed, the choreography, the way that they hit every single note was not off track one single time. The backup dancers, it was just, I don't know how many times we watched, when we were in Miami, we watched Beachella probably 14 times. And I don't know how many times I've watched it personally, but it's just, it was a movement. It was a complete movement. Beyonce did that. I know Beyonce always does that, but she absolutely did that, and you can be her biggest hater and you still have to say that she did that.
Agree.
And I wanted to wrap up our 2018 glow ups.
To add Supa.
Yes,
we cannot talk about glow ups without talking about Supa, also known as Supa Scent on IG, the owner of the Crayon Case Makeup brand, and you know, she got her start on IG making, you know, funny videos, and I remember watching her
and they were hilarious.
I've been following her. She started on Vine, I think, but either way, I've been watching Supa for a long time, and she transitioned into having starting this makeup brand, and we've watched her journey since 2016 diligently building this brand. And Supa, who's a native of New Orleans, had a Cyber Monday sale this past November and grossed over $1 million in revenue in just an hour of the Cyber Monday sale. And it's just a testament to how awesome and amazing and the level of work. We've watched her, you know, now she's got this big warehouse and she shares every part of her story on her Instagram. She's one of the most inspirational and entertaining people that I follow. So if you're not following Supa Scent, I think you totally should. But, you know, the Crayon Case Cosmetics has just really popped in ways that are just so awe-inspiring. I know just recently she and her best friend Judy, who Judy sells the hair oil, the drops. I can't think of it right now. I'm so sorry, Judy. Don't beat me up. But yes, they sell. But both of the, is it Kaleida? I don't remember.
The hair drops.
There's, I have some. I don't know. They're right in my bathroom right now. But the real BB Judy, I know is her name. Go check her out. She's everything as well. But yeah, Supa and Judy just had the largest giveaway. Christmas giveaway there in New Orleans. They literally rented out the Superdome and had thousands of children and families come and get their Christmas toys. It was beautiful. And what was most amazing about it was that they didn't have any sponsors or vendors. This was Supa and Judy literally coming out of their own pockets and bank accounts to do this for the community there in New Orleans. And that's my kind of carrying on, my God. So
I can get behind that.
I mean, I just love them. I just love them so much. And Supa shares, I talked about her on a couple episode a couple weeks ago. Like, what I love about her is that she shares everything. Mm-hmm. She's not been tight-lipped or, you know, miserly over any detail of her process. She's been completely transparent about, and she's so diligent and prioritizes promoting other Black women business owners in a way that you can't help but respect. So Supa, you know, is continuing to glow up. I can't wait to see what 2019 has in store for Supa. She just bought her mama a 4-bedroom house. Literally. Aww. It was just like, come on. Like, come on. Like, goals among goals among goals.
Yes.
But literally watch her. And she talks about how she started off as a waitress, how she used to wait tables to feed her son and take care of her family. And
We've watched her story, and now she is a multi-millionaire. She is a makeup mogul in the real sense, not in the YouTube sense that the people just be using all willy-nilly. She is literally out here running a multi-million dollar corporation. And I don't know her, but I'm just over here proud. Like,
no, I can't. Listen, I love Supa. And on top of that, like, and I know her backstory in the service industry. And I know she's a real one. You know how I know she's a real one? Because she follows the Server Life page. I've seen her comment on it. Server Life, if you've ever been in the service industry, ever in your life, you've been a server, a bartender, a barback, a food runner, what have you, follow server_life on Instagram. And the memes, you will get your entire life. It is everything that every person in the service industry needs, like on a comedy level, and that everybody can relate to. And Supa follows it. And I've seen her comment on there. And I'm like, yes, you better stay true to your server roots. So, you know, I have a special affection for those in the service industry. I'll never do it again. Before we get into our final, like glow up that... I have to shout out, because you shouted out Supa, that reminded me that I have to shout out Miss Amber, Just Living Baby. I don't know if you follow her on Instagram, but she posts her version, a very black girl from LA. I don't know where she's from, Crenshaw, South Central, one of those. But, or Inglewood, I don't know. She's very black girl from LA. You follow Just Living Baby? You know who that is? Mm-mm. She posts inspirational videos with her nails and her body, and she's very body posy. And you know, she started off.
What are you talking about when you said the nails?
You know her from the nails. She is very body positive, and she used to also post funny videos. She posted one of the funniest videos that still takes me down to this day, and that is her and her friend's rendition of Future's Mask Off. For the Mask Off Challenge. It was so foolish, and I cried real tears and watched it a million times. But as of lately, she's been posting videos of her working out and just her progress. And it's not necessarily about her losing weight, but just about her being confident and coming into her own with her own body and being like, these are full body pictures, all 2018. Y'all are going to get all of this good loving. You're going to get all of me all over my Instagram page. And she's been able to now, she's graced a couple of magazine covers. And I just think it's dope. You know what I'm saying? That you can just come, that, you know, she's been able to come up in that way and be inspirational to different people. But our final glow up of 2018, you all knew it was coming. Our good sis Cardi. Let's go over some of Cardi's stats, and then we can get into some good Cardi conversation. Okay? Here's some of her best moments, literally from 2018, in the last year. Boom. Number one, she performed with Bruno Mars at the Grammys. That's right. Already big. Dropped Invasion of Privacy and broke all kinds of records, including the Guinness. She was entered into the Guinness Book of World Records for the most simultaneous Billboard U.S. Hot 100 entries by women, by having 13 tracks on the list all at once for the Billboard charts. She's also the fifth female rapper in history to top those charts. So, in addition to that, she confirmed her pregnancy on SNL. She co-hosted The Tonight Show with Jimmy Fallon. She performed pregnant at the Billboard Latin Music Awards.
She sure did.
She welcomed her baby, Culture, who is absolutely beautiful and looks just like her sister. Mm-hmm. And she opened the MTV Video Music Awards and took home 3 trophies on the same night. So Cardi has had... She's had a year, but she's had some really wonderful wins. And we would be remiss not to talk about her fashions from Fashion Week.
Oh, my God. I stan.
Sis.
I stan.
Stan. She came out with looks. LEWKS, nigga. Like, she came out with looks. She was killing niggas. She killed niggas in her Dolce. She killed niggas with in her hats. And in her, just her frocks.
Lady. I stan a lady.
Listen.
Listen. In Milan, eating spaghettis.
extent, Lady Cardi was like, yes, I rap about ratchet things and niggas, but I will put on these designer high-end fashions, and you all will gag because I will be demure, and I will eat in these photos, and y'all won't be able to take. It will be a gag. And I stand, because this is why Cardi is the people's choice, because I feel like she's proven that there's always great success in being yourself. And I think people gravitate toward Cardi because of that authenticity. And it's really just something that I aspire to just embody, like, throughout. Like, and it just proves that there are no rules. Like, you can literally do what you want to do when you are committed to working hard. Yeah, when you're committed to being yourself, working hard, and walking and living with integrity. And I think that, and sharing and being grateful and humble and hungry. So there is, I just, like, you don't have to be, you don't have to be sneaky and conniving. You don't have to be like anybody else. Like, I just, Cardi is my niece, and she, without flaw, right? I mean, I'm not saying that she's without flaw, right? So we're still growing and evolving, and there's things of that course. We're doing. We're all learning through, you know, learning lessons through different experiences and circumstances that we have. Some of them are fault, some of them not. But either way, like, you know, she's evolving and doing so gracefully. And I just, I'm proud of her. I'm just proud.
I'm super proud. Yeah, Cardi has had a year, and she has had some really big wins. She really, really has, and she deserves all of the wins she's had. But I also want to give, and I know you're going to talk about it in your petty peeve, so we're not going to go into the nigger. But I have to say, one of the biggest glow-ups for me with her is her response to everything right now. It seems like Cardi has a peace about herself, and a calm about herself, because... And she is now celebrating all of these wins. She, too, was also able to buy her mother a house this year, which she says she's been aspiring to do. And she seems to have just grown. If you look at her whole presence, if you look at just how she's carrying herself and even how she decides that she wants to disclose personal information, it's like, this is this, and this is what it is. You know, and I have to give it to her for her attitude, for her switch up, in addition to just all of the beautiful things that we see, and the fact that she ate them crab legs on that private jet.
Oh my God.
Like she was in the middle of the boil. And I was like, yo, you are my sis for real. You are literally my little sis. And I'm very, very, very proud of her. So she is my personal, and probably Key and I's combined, top glow up of 2018.
Absolutely. I mean, and not honorable mentions. We have to acknowledge just, you know, people. I'm going to acknowledge some people that I follow that just, you know, I just respect their grind and work ethic. Wow, I can't speak. But, you know, just those who are still grinding in the struggle, the Budgetnista out here. Yes. You know, changing lives. The student loan doctor is out here changing lives. Shameless Maya, Hey Friend, Hey, Just Hilarious, Lovey.
Around the Way Curls.
Yeah, Around the Way Curls. Sarah Jakes is out here building this Woman Evolve empire. Mm-hmm. She just bought her own corporate space. The MUA Alex just had this wonderful... launched this wonderful collaboration with her and the makeup brand Black Radiance. Just so good, right? Jackie Ina's out here doing things in the makeup
Nikki
world.
Of NL Makeup.
Absolutely. I mean, people just out here just doing major, major things, inspiring us to continue on and go forward. We cannot acknowledge Crystal Jean.
Absolutely not. We would never.
I mean, just continuing. And I mean, I'm just excited for what 2019 has in store. I mean, Cheska Lee. I mean, just so many people that we can continue to name. And I don't want to leave anybody out. But
no, not at all.
I'm gonna stop talking. But those are people that just came to mind. People who I'm just excited, you know, seeing us work hard. You know, Toya is building the Analog Girl. I mean, it's just so many things, y'all. We have so much going on within our community, and we have to support one another. Summer G, Dear Summer G is starting a podcast. My friend Summer is starting a podcast next year. It's going to be an advice column. She's already getting things going on her Instagram. Tracy May, my sister Tracy May, shot her own web series. And Tracy's been talking about this goal of shooting her own web series since I've known her. This is something that she's wanted to do. And she's, you know, finally was able to get it done this year. So I'm sure that's going to come out in 2019. I'm so proud of her. So just, we're all out here.
Everybody's
just
out here
wanting to celebrate and excited about what's going on. And this is just cause for us to continue to band together and build. We're just trying to build like everybody else.
Absolutely. So we're also excited for, you know, last but not least, I'm going to go ahead and shout out Getting Grown.
Yes, why not?
Because Getting Grown is a baby. And in 2018, and this is not, you know what? No, we're going to toot our own horns for just a second. We were able to, shout out to our brother, Kid Fury, for giving us the opportunity. And we have worked hard, Kia and I. We have worked hard personally. There have been nights, tonight included, where recording was the last thing that we wanted to do. And that's just being honest, you know what I'm saying? But it's been such an honor to be able to grow with you all and get your feedback, your constructive criticism, your loving criticism, your loving comments and your support and your buying tickets to the live shows. Shout out to Cal State for giving us an opportunity to come out to speak at the Women and Femmes of Color Conference. Shout out to Atlanta for showing up and showing out, Philadelphia, New York, Washington, D.C. Shout out to everybody who showed love to us in Nashville when we hosted The Read. Everybody who shows love when we've hosted for The Friend Zone. But I'm really, really proud of us, and I'm very excited to see what we are able to do. Kia and I have been talking about, you know, we have Getting Grown, but also bringing our brands together and just really doing things for our community in the year to come, in the new year. So I'm super excited to see all that we're able to do individually and collectively. Right. And I'm proud of what we've been able to do. And I'm grateful to all of you all for supporting us, because we would not be able to do this if you guys did not support us. So shout out to you all as well.
Thank you for your patience. We're still growing and learning how to manage these different moving parts in our lives. And sometimes we get it right. Other times we're learning lessons through the mistakes that we've made. But you all have been consistent in your support of us and support of the show. And we just really we just couldn't let the year close out without formally and publicly thanking each and every listener, anyone who's ever pressed play on SoundCloud, Spotify, iTunes, Google Play, wherever you can find us. We don't take it for granted when we're working and managing, and it's hard to do both of these, you know, to manage our lives and careers and manage this part of our lives and careers. And sometimes things, you know, converge and overlap and bump up into each other, and, you know, leaves us tired and overworked. But we are, you know, learning different ways that we can take better care of ourselves and ensure that we can continue to bring you guys quality content. That's going to be our pledge to you moving forward. So thank y'all for riding with us. And absolutely, we're excited about what 2019 holds.
We're consistent because y'all are consistent.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? If Kia and I don't put up an episode, nigga, if we put up an episode at noon, niggas are like, where is the show?
They be like, no show today. I mean, I've just been refreshing.
What's going
on? I'm
like,
I'm actually, you know,
it's actually ruined my entire commute.
I mean, can you just let me get to work and get settled? I'll plug my computer in and we'll get this episode loaded up immediately.
So, we're not complaining. We're grateful.
Yes, we appreciate your diligence. and that lets us know that, you know, people are connecting with what we're trying to put out there. And that is really what it's all about. I feel like there's purpose in this. And I know that God didn't give us this platform for naught, but he's using it. He's using it, you know, so to help people. And that's really what I want to do. I want to be a resource. I want to help. So thank you guys. And let's move on to the honesty box.
Today's episode is also brought to you by Zola. Zola is reinventing the wedding planning and registry experience to make the happiest moment in couples' lives even happier. Combining compassionate customer service with modern tools and technology, all in the service of love. Zola is the easiest way to plan your wedding and register. With free wedding websites, your dream wedding registry, affordable save the dates and invitations, and easy to use planning tools. It starts with a free wedding website. It just takes minutes to set up, and you can choose from over 100 beautiful designs that fit any style and every type of wedding, whatever your choice is. Put your Zola registry on your wedding website so guests can get all the details they need and buy your wedding gifts in one convenient place. The Zola store has the widest selection of gifts at all different price points. From over 500 brands, there's something for every guest to give. So I was looking on Zola's website. I myself am already married, but I was like, what is this? Sometimes I just get a little curious. So I went on and I realized that I was extremely jealous at how Zola makes people's lives so much less stressful and way more enjoyable. I was hating hard. You know, I had people going on Amazon and I had to go to Crate and Barrel and use those stupid guns and click all over the place and all manners of havoc. I was all over the place getting flowers and figuring out how to do everything myself. I wish I had Zola. It is so easy. And living in this digital age and also how people are on a budget, it's just everything that you need. So to start your free wedding website and also get $50 off your registry on Zola, go to zola.com/grown. That's zola.com/grown to get $50 off your registry today.
Honestly?
Truly.
All right, let's get into this honesty box. It says, hey, Jade and Kia, first of all, I just want to say that I love you both and I appreciate you guys keeping it real on topics most of us can relate to as we climb toward our goals. Aww. Y'all are the big sisters in my head that I've always needed, and I truly treasure you both. We treasure you. Oh, my gosh.
Thanks, sis.
Right? Okay. About a year ago, I accepted a position at a moderately sized nonprofit that mostly involves internal auditing, handling paperwork, email correspondence, and such. When I initially interviewed, I said that I was looking to stay and move up within the company because I'd found through previous experience that most companies are looking to hire people that they can train and keep around for a while, which is understandable. However, I knew all the while that this wasn't the case for me and that my true intentions were to save up money and apply to doctoral programs. My financial situation when I was in the interview process for this job was so dire that I was willing to do what I had to do to get a job that would allow me to actually sustain myself. The pay was more than decent with all the benefits one looks for with a good job, so I took the position. I do like my company, but each day shows me more and more that it would never be fulfilling for me, so I kept focusing on my original plan. Fast forward to a few months ago, and I was accepted into my number one choice program, an accomplishment I'm absolutely ecstatic about, hashtag team typing fast, but a secret I've been maintaining from my coworkers. Recently, my boss has been communicating with each of us in my department about transitions to come within the organization. We've been undergoing training to new functions and discussing future trajectories into new roles. I know that now I've been accepted. My intention is to quit in a few months when my lease ends. My program starts in the fall of next year. However, I'm having trouble deciding on how I should quit or what I should say. Although for the most part, like Jade, I'm team say no to coworkers. You're damn right. My boss and coworkers are a close-knit bunch who seem to be genuinely nice people, and I can sense that they'll feel away or want to know details when I do decide to leave. I really don't want to be exposed for having lied all along, especially since I found out later that they've had problems retaining employees who ventured into other academic endeavors. What would you do if you were in my position? Do you think I should communicate early on my intent to leave before my boss seeks to train me on all these new roles? I think it would be awkward to announce that I'm leaving abruptly and amidst all the future planning. I would feel bad giving a standard 2-week notice since the process of training me to my position took almost 6 weeks. Any advice you each have would be much appreciated. Sincerely, let's give her a name.
Palace. Shout out to Shari L.
You are tickled. That took me down. I was not expecting that. That was good, sis. Thank you so much.
Welcome.
Go ahead. What do you have for Palace?
So I'm just, help me here. So Palace is saying that she's been hiding the fact that she's in graduate school from her coworkers?
Essentially, yes. Or that she is, hold on. Oh, she was accepted into her choice number one program. Okay, I don't know if she started. I don't know if she's hiding that she started or hiding that she was accepted. But I know that all in all, she's hiding her intentions.
Is it because she's fearful that she's going to lose her job?
No. She said it is because there have been other people who have left the job for other academic endeavors. And that this is a close-knit co-working community. And so, you know, everybody's kind of like all up in everybody else's business. It doesn't seem to be in a malicious way. She said these are genuinely nice people. And she does not want to lead them astray by allowing them to give her a promotion. And, you know, wasting their time, essentially. She doesn't want to waste their time.
But so she does want to go to school?
Yes.
So she's trying to find ways to
quit.
Just, oh, well, girl, pass this. I think
she's saying she should be forthright about how she quits, why she's quitting.
So the thing is, this is common, especially among women. And this is, if you think back to like one of our first episodes when we were talking about like some, a lot of times in these kinds of business or job related situations, we need to learn how to act like white men.
Yeah.
I understand we tend, you know, because we are by nature, you know, some of us can by nature really grow close to the people we work with every day. And there's nothing wrong with that. And we develop personal relationships with them, but we must never lose sight of the business of the matter. And I'm speaking from experience because I had a job that I was working at the University of Maryland just after I graduated. And when the opportunity presented itself for me to to be interviewed for the job that I have now, it was literally just about 3 to 4 months after I had taken this job. And I knew that the person I was working for built this position for me because he had something, you know, a special project that he wanted me to help out with. And he knew that I needed a job. So he definitely moved things around on my behalf. Mm-hmm. And I was really grateful to him for doing that. Because I know that he did not have to do it. Mm-hmm. So when the opportunity presented itself and I was offered my current job, I was torn because I didn't know how to tell this man, like, I know you created this job for me, but I'm leaving.
I remember that.
And it was tough. It was definitely challenging.
You felt really bad.
I did because, you know, I thought that this man, I mean, I knew that this man extended himself and he had been an awesome mentor and, you know, a wonderful supervisor, someone who I knew believed in me and what I had to offer. So I didn't want him to think that I was taking advantage of him or I was not grateful for all the things that he'd done for me. And I had a really candid conversation with two of my mentors, Dr. Friesberg and Dr. Griffin. And both of them were really straight up with me. Like, sometimes it just comes down to if you have a better offer on the table, then it's a better offer on the table. And a lot of times we're loyal to the jobs that we have. And sometimes we have to pull back and be objective because when it comes down to things, if the shoe's on the other foot and your job was going through some transition and, you know, more often than not, jobs are not loyal to us in the ways that we are loyal to them.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
So you can't lose sight on what your goals are. Mm-hmm. So there's no way to sugarcoat this. I think the best way to go about this is to just be honest. Like, I had a real candid conversation with my former supervisor, and I just said, listen, this is the opportunity that I wanted. This is the job that I applied for fresh out of school, and, you know, it's been made available to me. It's aligned with what I want to do, and it's just a better offer all around. And he totally understood and said, you know, if it were me, I would do the very same thing. And if your coworkers care about you in the ways that you care about them, then they should be happy for you if you are leaving
them to go in pursuit of, you know, the life and career that you want.
Absolutely.
Things that are going to make you happy. So don't beat yourself up about this palace, girl. Just, you know, take a deep breath and get your words together. I know I had to write out, I didn't read a script, but I wrote out my thoughts so that I knew what I wanted to say and I could just say it. Girl, just going in there and tell them people what time it is, honey, spill the tea. Like, so I got into a dog program and because I'm lit and I'm gonna go. Isn't that exciting? It's exciting. Don't feel bad about this accomplishment. Right. It's an exciting time.
I agree. I have never left a job for to pursue educational. No, that's a lie. But I've never left a job to become a doctor. But let me tell you something. I would. And and there should be nothing holding you back from screaming from the mountaintops that you accepted. And not only that, you let us know. You were accepted to, you were not just accepted. You're not just getting ready to have letters behind your name after you do this very, very hard work, just an FYI, because I saw Kia do it on FaceTime for a long time. But you're not only getting ready to do this really, really hard work, but you were accepted into your number one program. Let's be very clear here. You were accepted into your number one program. You need to be very proud of that. And like Kia said, jobs are always going to do what's in their best interest first. They're not going to be loyal to you like that. I remember when I was doing production management for a large clothing brand, like a fashion brand. And it was huge, like rollouts, store rollouts. We opened all of the stores, the factory stores in the United States, Canada, and Puerto Rico. I was in charge for all kinds of rollouts. And it got to a point where I was burning myself out working multiple jobs and driving to New Jersey for this production management job, which was an all day, like more than a 9-to-5. Tried to negotiate for them. I started working from home twice a week and it worked for some time. And then after a while, it did not work. They did not want me to work from home anymore. And it just didn't work for my schedule. And unfortunately, even though I was responsible for so many things because it did not align with what I needed in life, and then I was offered a better opportunity in Brooklyn where I lived, I had to go ahead and take that. And I couldn't feel guilty about the fact that they were in mid-project. It's not like I just left abruptly. Like, we had a conversation about it, and they knew which direction I was going. You know, I presented all of my options to them and all of the options that they had. If you all give this to me, this is what I'll do. And unfortunately, it didn't work for either one of us. So we had to part ways. And sometimes it's just like that. But in this particular case, you have such an amazing opportunity. You need to not only be proud of that opportunity, but let them know what it is. And who cares if they have hard feelings? They don't pay your rent. Like, you're probably never going to talk to these people again in your life.
They could have hard feelings, or they could be really happy for you.
They could.
Or it could be a little bit of both. I mean, you just won't know until you know. But the bottom line, like Jay said, is that it don't matter.
It don't matter. Literally, in 10 years, you're probably not going to talk to any of them. They can be nice people all day, and I'm not trying to be crass, like harsh. But I've forgotten most of my coworkers who I, you know, from years past, if we've not maintained a friendship. You know what I'm saying? And it's not because they weren't good people or we didn't have good work experiences. It's just because life goes on. So don't let this stop anything that you got going on, because they're not going to let anything that you got going on stop them from what they got going on.
Real tea.
And we can move right on along to these petty peeves.
And I want to be very responsible of the things I say to my sister, because everybody know I can be real petty. P-E to the T-T-Y.
Okay, let's jump on in, because we've got a long way to go and a short time to get there.
Absolutely.
So the internet has been a buzz with this Cardi and Offset thing. And, you know, several people have been chiming in. And I have some thoughts just about the ways that... So my petty peeve is kind of twofold. Because at first, my issue is with people who, one, don't understand... I'm sorry, not only people, but adults, grown adults who have 1040s and 1099s on file down to the IRS, people who are adults with adult responsibilities out here driving cars and purchasing homes and doing all kinds of substantial
things, dealings, business, all kinds of things. Mm-hmm. Still out here, but are bereft of the capacity and the knowledge or to know how apologies work. I feel like apologies was something that we were introduced to very, very early in life. Like, you know, when someone does something to you or when you have been wronged, we've been told that, you know, apologizing is just the next steps. The next step, you know, it's just something that it suggests that, you know, a person is remorseful or repentant or they wish that they had not done, you know, whatever it was that hurt or offended you. But yes. Here we are in 2018, and I'm baffled every day by men and women who have no idea how apologies actually work. And I feel like we've talked about this time and time again, but evidently it bears repeating. So now, if someone has done something to you that is offensive, mm-hmm. or if you, like I said, you've offended someone, then you absolutely should apologize.
Absolutely.
When you've hurt or offended someone you love, you should apologize. However, you cannot demand that your apology be heard.
Nope.
Or accepted or received.
Nope.
Or that you will be forgiven because you've apologized, whether it be 10 times, whether it be 198 times. Mm-hmm. Or whether your apology was been given in private or in some public grand gesture, like having 1,000 flowers wheeled out onto a stage.
To spell out,
you know, your sentiments. It does not matter in the way, but you have to acknowledge that your apology does not absolve you from the responsibility of your actions. And I feel like we have said that so many times, but
if I could go tomorrow
and bust into the Saks Fifth Avenue and steal all of the Gucci bags, I can run through with a garbage bag and literally just take the Gucci bags and just place them in. And I can go and get in my car and drive away. And if I get caught, I can go back to Saks Fifth Avenue and apologize, but I am still responsible for breaking the law. And the same rules apply. And when it comes to relationships, and I'm very tired, I'm weary of this notion, this expectation, this mindset and ideology that women are supposed, like, when women forgive, you know, for infidelity or for abuse, that is a sign of loyalty.
Right.
Or that, you know, I've just been accosted on my Instagram feed by this hashtag fight for love business.
Oh, no.
Where literally it has been persons either who have been either victims or, active participants in infidelity, saying that, you know, marriage is hard and marriage is tough and you got to fight for your love. And I think, you know, I get it because, you know, everybody who got a brain knows that marriage is not easy, right? Anybody who has ever been in a relationship has got to know that marriage is not easy. So I get that. But
the ghetto.
Fighting for love does not suggest that I'm going to allow you to treat me poorly and put me and my body and my life and my child and my resources and my money and my credit. You don't get to put those things.
And my child, listen, and my money, and my child, listen, and my money.
You don't get to put those things at, like, you know, you compromise, in danger. Like, you don't get to do that.
No.
And I don't care how sorry you are. Your response, if taking responsibility for your actions means that I can forgive you, but that does not mean that I have to talk to you. Mm-hmm. I can continue to love you. Because unconditional love does not always mean unconditional romantic love. I'm not going to say that Cardi doesn't love Offset. I'm sure she does. He fathered her only child.
Right.
But
she said that.
Exactly. But that does not mean that she needs to be in partnership with him. She needs to be married to him. Yes, they have to co-parent, but that does not mean that if she does not want to be in a marriage with Offset, that she is not loyal. Because where was all of this grace and compassion and values about marriage, the institution of marriage, when Offset was cheating? Where was that? I mean, and we can compare Cardi and Offset to Kobe Bryant and Vanessa and Aniko and Kevin Hart. And I'm not here to listen, everybody's grown. You can make your own decisions. But what we will not do is raise this standard that suggests that fighting for marriage or being in a marriage means that you must contend with abuse and infidelity and absolutely be okay not with it. Because I don't feel like, you know what I'm saying? Like, even if you want to go, and I'm really upset with the Christians who have signed on to this bandwagon and are using Jesus to cape for infidelity and people who have been, you know, and I'm not saying, I know it happens, but let's not twist words here. We want to talk about marriage and how the Lord, you know, talks about marriage. There he talks about it in real specific ways. So this submission and this love is all supposed to be, the example is supposed to be as Christ loves the church. So we can't talk about that. You know what I'm saying? You can't. Okay. We're supposed to submit as wives, submit. You know, we've talked about what submitting means and how, you know, it's nuanced and layered and it's not as simple as just doing what somebody tells you to do. But if I'm supposed to submit to you, it is my diligence. It's my due diligence to vet you and make sure that submitting to you will not compromise what God has placed in me as far as purpose and gifts and talents. And if being with you puts any of that in danger, then it's my job to make sure that I don't submit to you and your trash. So for all of the good Christian men out here who is talking about Cardi need to take Offset back and Jesus forgives, y'all talking about apples and oranges. Cardi can forgive Offset, but demanding that she take him back, especially, okay, it's like Offset lit the match that started this fire. Demanding Cardi to forgive him suggests that Cardi should put the fire out and then go take her child and live in the rubble and the soot of the burned down house. Ain't nobody got time for that.
Offset went to the bodega, purchased the Bic lighter, and then poured canola oil on gasoline. Top of the fire. What are you talking about?
This is what I'm saying.
Furthermore,
we got to stop. No, I'm just saying. I'm going to wrap up because I felt like I've just talked a whole lot. But I my petty peeve is for people who don't know how apologies work, how words work, and for people who are consistently using Jesus and Christianity to cape for their problematic behaviors and taking things out of context. Because we got to realize the responsibility of our words. And what we're suggesting to future generations of women is that it's okay for you to be disregarded, you know,
disrespected,
humiliated, endangered, and especially
endangered.
I mean, when you have a child, like that just raises the stakes even higher. So instead of telling women all we need to do to be more loyal, I wish to God that these men and women, because it's not just men, but that these people would have all the ways that they're encouraging and admonishing Cardi to forgive, why don't they encourage and admonish Offset to do right? I just really, that would help me. That would really have him
tell you
to
something.
Do
the
right.
Last people I want to see caping for some, for telling a nigga, or telling Cardi that she needs to take a nigga back who has done all of this to her is 50 Cent.
Listen.
And T.I.
I mean, all
king of grotesque behavior.
All niggas who have been caught and who are champions of being trash. Okay?
Trash.
Like this is what I'm saying. So what
I watch Power, but let's be clear. 50 Cent is trash.
Trash.
Okay? He's a very problematic individual.
And hilarious, I just wish that we would, instead of telling women that, you know, being a good wife is dealing with trash, why don't we just encourage husbands and wives, partners of all kinds, to just be better together?
Do
and
better.
I just because I just feel like it's so one-sided. And I think it's unfair for people to expect Cardi and to literally be harassing her to the extent that it's happening. And just, you know, we don't know all that Cardi has had to deal with. Their relationship has been public, but I'm certain that all of the dimensions of the trauma and pain that, you know, has been exchanged mutually, because I'm sure that Cardi has done her fair share of, you know, problematic things to offset. But
it ain't been public.
Cardi has not been caught cheating multiple times.
Keep multiple that same energy times. If she goes out there and gets pregnant by a few niggas. Keep that same energy if text messages are released of Cardi setting up a threesome with two niggas while she's on tour or what
this
have
is
you.
What I'm saying.
Keep that same energy.
Because T.I. cleared a Las Vegas lobby. He didn't even, Tiny took a picture with Floyd Mayweather.
She a was picture, a photograph.
And that nigga turned the whole hotel out.
Did.
But now he want to tell Cardi.
Turntables.
I just feel like we talking out of both sides of our necks. And I wish that we would just shut up with that. And I'm especially disappointed when it comes to people who say that they're speaking on behalf of God in the church. Because I don't believe that that's the case. Like, even in the Bible, yes, God's love is unconditional. Yes, his forgiveness is, you know, it's without boundary. And there's nothing that he won't forgive us for. But that does not mean that we have to pay the price for the choices and the decisions that we've made. That whatever consequences come with whatever we've done, we still have to face them and trust that God will give us the grace to do that. So to offset, perhaps a consequence for you cheating on your wife multiple times is that you don't have a wife no more. Mm. That don't mean that Cardi don't love you or that you can't be a father to your child. That means that you can't be her wife. Her husband no more. That's all that means. And you don't get to demand anything, because when you demand, as far as I'm concerned, when you demand an apology, forgiveness, when you demand that someone forgives you for what you've done and on your terms, it's not about Cardi, it's about Offset. Offset just wants Cardi to take him back so that he can feel better about himself. He don't really give a damn that Cardi is hurt and needs to heal, because if he did, he would allow
her to showed up to her
that.
Job.
Absolutely. He would
in the
not,
middle
she would
of her
not
damn
stalk
set.
Her and harass her and get hundreds of thousands of people to jump in her mentions and tell her that it's time for her to take him back. And marriage is hard. Marriage
and have
is
thousands
hard.
Of people chanting to take him back.
Listen, marriage
That's
is
manipulative.
Hard. Marriage is hard because I don't want to share a bathroom with that nigga. Not because. And I've never been married, so you can speak to this probably better than me. But I just believe that marriage is hard because it's hard to do life with someone, especially when people have different values, different, you know what I'm saying? It's hard to be in partnership because we're trained and socialized to be individuals. But marriage is hard because, you know, he's a morning person and I'm not. Marriage is hard because he leaves his shoes and socks at the door. Marriage is hard for those reasons. Marriage is hard because, you know, he might spend money without, you know, he might buy sneakers. I might buy sneakers without, you know, checking with him. That's why marriage is hard. Marriage is not hard because you keep, because you decide to bring other people outside of our marriage into the bed time and time and time again when I've asked you not to. That doesn't make marriage hard.
Marriage is hard because I don't want to give my last bite of steak to you, but I will because
this is what I'm saying.
I'm a generous person. Marriage is hard because I'm tired of the way that you leave the toothpaste tube. Marriage is hard because we come from two totally different backgrounds where, you know, we come from different experiences and households, and you have to learn how to merge those into one. Marriage is not hard, like Kia said. It is not hard to not set up a threesome in New Orleans.
And be mad because you got caught. Talking about I was entertaining. Why the hell were you entertaining a threesome that you had no plans to participate in?
I ain't fucking them girls, but I was entertaining it.
Child,
I was a messed up husband.
That's what I'm saying. If this is how y'all want to set up marriage, if this is what it means to be married and to be ride or die, I am good. You understand what I'm saying?
That's it.
Because I just can't. I can't be a part of it. I just can't. I can't. I got too much to lose now. To put my life and everything that I've worked so hard to accomplish in the balance, because somebody is selfish. No, I'm just saying.
Yes.
And won't even have the conversation, because we can sit down and talk about anything. But when you go behind my back and you can't look me in my face and tell me, you know, I got to find out through the internet and all this other, and you that you don't you're not riding for me. You don't even realize the ways in which your behavior is reckless and not only puts you in danger, but puts me in danger and puts our child in danger. You don't even have that in your mind. Then I can't trust that.
Furthermore, what kind of example am I setting for my daughter if I continue to put up with your consistent trash behavior? Again, you didn't forget to take the trash out. You cheated on me multiple times in public, had pregnancy scares and strippers coming out saying that they slept with you and people posting text messages and all matters of receipts and facts and examples. So it's not the same thing. It's not the same thing.
It's baffling to me that people think that it is. And I am more shocked and taken aback by the women.
Yeah, I'm disappointed.
Who are just like, y'all don't know. So many, because there's a young man named LaShawn Daniels. I've been following him for a long time. He's an awesome, brilliant genius of a music producer. And he and his wife, April, have, you know, a very active YouTube where they talk about marriage and relationships and, you know, being Christian and marriage and relationships. And it's awesome. And I love them. They were on Vincent Tamar's show. And I just really love that they love each other really hard. Mm-hmm. But he got on his Instagram yesterday and really upset the kid. And I was really like, what the hell are you talking about, nigga? He was like, wow, y'all mad because Offset is asking for forgiveness. Isn't that the basis of Christianity? Like, don't bring the Lord into this.
Don't do that.
Offset ain't bring the Lord into this. And nobody's saying that Cardi can't forgive him or should not forgive him. I'm just saying that he is going about this in a very toxic and abusive way. And for y'all to think that that is what God wants is just hurtful to me. Because how is that supposed to make me feel as a woman? What's that supposed to do for my self-esteem?
She's a brand new mother.
Like, exactly.
She's got so many things to be dealing with, her hormones, and she's on top of that, she's already got like the pressure of the public and this very public career. And do you really think in the midst of her dealing with this turmoil during all of her wins and dealing with a new baby and dealing with a new body, because when you have a baby, your body is totally changed, and dealing with all of this, do you really think you all adding to it by telling her what she needs to be doing when she really needs this moment of peace for a second is getting ready to help the situation? And Offset is completely wrong. He's manipulative. He is being emotionally abusive. And it's disgusting. And you're taking away from her light. You really interrupted one of her highlights, one of her biggest moments, because of your fuck up.
And making it about you.
It's not about you, bro. And called her bro.
And called her bro. So you should be. I feel like that was very long. But I'm sorry. I just had a lot.
No,
on
that
my
was
chest
necessary.
Because I just am so bothered.
And marriage is about submitting to one another. So this double standard about, you know, how women need to forgive and, you know, and then when it happens to men, they, you know, they are just disgusted. They are just egos to the ground. I mean, egos just falling all the way to hell. Niggas lose their motherfucking minds if a woman cheats on. If a woman even sends a wrong text message, a nigga is wilding. You know what I'm saying? Like, they are not having any of it. So do you really think that if she was in the public eye doing all of the exact same things, that it would be this same response? Absolutely not. And you're a liar and a cheat if you say that it is anything otherwise, or that it would be any way otherwise. So Offset, do better.
Away and leave us alone.
Leave Cardi alone. Leave her alone right now.
Leave us all alone.
She's happy with her baby. Well, my petty peeve is not as involved.
I'm sorry.
No, please. That was a wonderful petty peeve. That was a read. It was just literally about this girl, this young millennial on the train behind me, on my way back from DC this weekend. I had a very peaceful ride until this heifer got on at one of these stops and she took a phone call. Now, there's nothing wrong with taking a phone call. There were numerous people on the train who had to take a phone call, and they spoke low, and they got off the phone promptly. I was one of the people who also had to take a phone call, put my headphones in, spoke low, and ended the phone call quickly. I thought she was going to do the same thing. Absolutely not. Not only did she take the phone call, she went up levels in her vocals and then continued the conversation for about 14 minutes, which is very, very long in travel time. And I don't remember all of what she was saying, but I remember holding a very long conversation with whoever she was on the phone with. And I remember the very last thing being, "That's low-key expensive." And I just could not take it anymore. And I turned around, I said, "Excuse me, you are very loud on the train right now." And it was then that she got some self-awareness and got, "Can you text me?" But I'm trying to understand why it does not click in certain ones' minds that they are just interrupting the peace and the quiet of entire, like, communities, whether it be a train community, a coffee community, what have you. What makes you think that the entire world wants to hear your conversation? And I know I've said this about white men on the elevator, and I still stand behind that. But I just, this girl's conversation, I just could not even believe that she was not planning on ending that conversation anytime soon. I was just flabbergasted that she was not going to end the conversation anytime soon. So that is my petty peeve this week. And that is another episode of Getting Grown. Once again, thank you all so much for listening and for tuning in and for just being a part and continuing conversations. And we're super excited to bring you guys new episodes in the new year. But in the meantime and in between time, do you have any wrap-ups, sis? Do you have anything you want to say before we finalize?
No, man. I'm good. I just want to thank you all for everything, like you said.
We're grateful. We're super, super grateful. But please drink your water during the rest of this year.
Yes, and continue to mind your business and moisturize each day. Why, sis?
Because your black will crack if it's dry.
Absolutely.
Bye.
Bye.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.